That was BTS with Dynamite. You are listening to The Takeover on Life FM, and we have Kelly K. Natrapath joining us in the studio tonight. Kelly, welcome back.
Thank you.
So good to have you here. And it is CFS Fibromyalgia Awareness Week this week, which is why we are specifically talking about CFS and fibromyalgia. Mm. And you were saying earlier that these are, you know, conditions that you practice in quite a bit. It's actually an area that you specialize in. So with the people who do suffer with these illnesses, what sort of concerns do they see usually?
Yeah, well, there's a number of different challenges that they face. And one, the first one is actually getting a diagnosis, because there's no real blood test or diagnostic marker at the moment that will tell someone that they have these conditions. Yep. It's usually a diagnosis comes from eliminating everything else and then the symptom picture.
Right.
So that, for starters, can be a really distressing and traumatic journey. There's still a lot of stigma and a lot of misunderstanding about these conditions as well, even amongst medical professionals. So it can be really quite challenging, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally as well. And then just the social isolation from it as well.
Yeah,
some people
yep.
are really debilitated. So a quarter of people with chronic fatigue syndrome are actually housebound or bedbound. So they're so sick that they can't leave their house or their bed.
Yeah, wow.
And most, if they do work, it's at a much reduced capacity. So their lives are really turned upside down.
Yep.
And to add to that, people just don't understand what it's like, and they don't understand the unpredictable nature of it. So one day they might be well enough to, you know, go out with you and have a coffee and do some normal things like that.
Yep.
And then the next 2 days they can't get out of bed.
Yep.
So, and there's sometimes no rhyme or reason to it. So it's just really challenging and really isolating for them as well.
Yeah, and I can see definitely the link there between the anxiety and depression and the isolation
Absolutely.
That comes with it, because they kind of go hand in hand. If you, as we saw during COVID when we were locked down and things, I mean, the increase in depression and anxiety was huge, and it makes sense because we are, you know, people who need, well, we're human beings that need community and connection. And so
Absolutely.
When we're isolated, it impacts on our mental health. Ollie, you had a really good question about Google and and fibromyalgia.
Yeah, yeah. If someone is experiencing symptoms, you know, that they might be alarmed about, and that perhaps they've Googled something and Dr. Google has told them, hey, you've got this. What are some things that people can do to investigate it, but also manage it if they're starting to enter into that space, I guess?
Yeah, well, the first thing, the word you use there, investigate it, that's really important. So finding a practitioner who actually understands these conditions, and I'm quite happy for people to reach out to me if they would like to. But yeah, if you do think that you might fit these this symptom picture, trying to go and talk to your GP about it, and don't be afraid to get a second opinion. And you know your body better than anyone, so don't be put off if, you know, you're told there's nothing wrong with you the first time round. But then, yeah, finding a practitioner that understands the condition is really important. And then if you are Googling, it can become really overwhelming, because you'll come across oodles of information about all these things that might help you, and it can really be quite confusing. So again, I say having a good healthcare team around you is really, really important. And a healthcare team that understands the conditions. There is becoming a lot more research and a lot more understanding of how these syndromes work or what might be driving them, which is really, really exciting and giving us a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And so looking at what the drivers are. So as a practitioner, for me, when clients come in, I'm looking at, okay, how did this start? Because often there's a history of either trauma, which might be physical trauma or emotional trauma, or there might be a history of infections is a big one.
Oh,
so
okay.
Post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome, it's probably the majority, I would say, of clients that I see have some sort of post-viral that was the trigger for their ongoing illness.
Yep.
Yeah.
So by addressing some of these triggers and drivers, we can actually start to see some improvement in people's symptoms and help them get quality of life back.
Yeah. If I can ask, what are some of the natural treatments that you would use? Is it mainly diet or is it sort of supplements? What sort of things would help someone with this?
So I would use everything. I'm a holistic practitioner and these are really complex conditions. So you do need to sort of target them from a variety of different angles.
Yeah, of course.
So, for example, it's slightly different with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibro, but with chronic fatigue syndrome, if there was a strong viral history, I'd be looking at using herbal medicines to support the immune function and to deal with any persistent viral infections or viral load. Also looking at supporting the stress response as well, which is often out of whack or, you know, dysregulated, which causes a whole lot of problems. And then using, you know, both diet and herbal medicine, nutritionals to help with things like reducing pain, addressing gut health. There's a lot of research now about people with these conditions have altered gut microbiomes, which we talked about a few weeks back. How important gut health was, and all the more so for chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So I'd be looking at, you know, prebiotics, probiotics. Looking at doing some gut work there as well.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a process and I usually take a staggered approach because it can be quite overwhelming. If we try and address all of these things
all at once
in one go, then it can be too much for people.
Sure.
It both like just the mental overload, but also physically it can often be too much because they tend to be quite sensitive as well.
Yeah.
So, just little baby steps and then we tend to see over time some good results.
It's good to know and it brings a lot of hope to know that there are things out there that can help, particularly in the natural health avenue as well. So really, really promising. Yeah.
Especially important, I think, for people to know that there are some options to help them manage it because often they get sent away, here's your diagnosis and off you go, go manage it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't a lot of support yet. It's getting better, but there's not a lot of real support or treatment options available conventionally. So it's really important that people know that there are things that you can do to help manage your symptoms.
Oh, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us and for shining a light on this as well. I think that, as you say, it's something we don't hear about very often. And if someone is struggling with this, I'm sure that this kind of discussion is going to help them feel a lot better about the outlook of their future and how they can live a relatively normal life even with this diagnosis. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. And as we say, it is CFS, and Fibromyalgia Awareness Week as well. So do some research yourself as well. Maybe
Absolutely.
You want to have a look online and see what there is available and what resources there are. But Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.